Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about our links and news, go to our website at geekson.com.
Welcome, everybody.
Are we recording? Hello, my geeklings!
Is this thing on?
Holy crap, that was quick. My ass is not yet in the chair.
That's right.
Hi!
Hello,
it's
everybody out there.
Another week of geeksod.com.
Another chunk of bandwidth wasted into the ether.
It's what we do.
Another hour and some of your life.
How was your geek week, speaking of geeks?
I had a lovely geek week, thank you very much.
Oh yeah?
I did.
What did you do?
I watched lots of geeky movies this weekend.
Ooh.
Actually, I had an insanely busy Saturday, and then every single plan I had for Sunday got canceled.
Ooh.
Every single one.
Did you sit on your butt?
Sat on my ass and watched movies all Sunday.
That rocks.
Unfortunately, they all kind of blended together. So the only one that really kind of sits firmly in my mind was Alexander, the director's cut, because
Ooh.
It was so bad.
Oh. I keep on saying... Why did you do that? Didn't you watch
it? I was curious. It's Oliver Stone, man. You know, it can't be that bad. It was.
Didn't you go to see it and just like...
I saw it in the theater.
That's right.
Okay, but the one thing I have to say, though, like Angelina Jolie. I'm not a big fan of Angelina Jolie, but she kicked ass in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, every time she was on screen, I'm like, oh, okay, put down the book. What's she doing? You know? Yeah.
There was
are you kidding me?
Did you watch?
There was a reviewer who said that Angelina Jolie could break every male character over her knee.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Absolutely.
But she did... Well, I mean, I don't even know why they said that. I mean, she didn't do anything but just do monologues.
No.
She didn't...
There was
that
some
room
good body
doing a monologue.
No, okay, the monologues... Yes, she did a lot of monologues, but that was not all she did.
All right. Well, this isn't geeky.
Damn
okay.
it.
Oh, I think Alexander's geeky.
Angelina Jolie is definitely geeky.
Yes, she is.
I'm sorry.
Tomb Raider,
we did a poll... If we did a poll, you would have your ass wiped on the floor.
She played Laura Croft, man. She's fair game.
Did you guys say he would have his ass wiped on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Image. Scooch.
What about you,
Scooch,
Matt? Any geek?
Scooch.
You were.
I went camping. I went to Great Sequoia. That's not great. But I saw Constantine today.
Oh, that's ginky.
Painful.
That's ginky.
But also ginky.
Yeah.
What did you think? What did you think of Constantine?
I hate that I kind of liked it. Because I really always want to get mad at Keanu Reeves for doing... I mean, he was bad. He was bad acting. But I thought that the script kind of saved it. I thought that there was good enough writing that it pulled it along and pulled it along. And the supporting cast around him was great.
See, I can agree with you. But I thought it was just all gloss. I didn't think there was any substance to it whatsoever.
Mm.
And I felt the entire movie was one tone through the entire thing.
The trailers were great. I always thought the trailers looked great.
It's right. Very pretty. And the... Tilda Swinton. I don't know if anyone else but me knows
she's
who she
the
is.
Angel.
Yeah, but I think she's one. She's really kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah,
you know, she's not sexy. She's not beautiful.
She's not male. She's not female.
She's not handsome. She's not noble. But she can't take your eyes
she's
off her.
Ginky.
She's ginky.
She's ginky.
She
really is
definitely ginky.
But whenever Keanu, you know, starts, you know, yelling up into the heavens, intoning, you're like.
But I only tuned out really from him about twice, which I think is a minimal. And and it follows my rule of Keanu Reeves, which is that if Keanu Reeves does not know anything, the movie will be good.
Like if he plays the clueless character, the movie is good.
The movie's good. Bill and Ted's doesn't know anything. Great movie. Matrix.
Yeah.
I'm the one. Great. What is the Matrix?
Anytime he's
great
like,
whoa.
Little Buddha. Not so
hot. Yeah, exactly. He's God. Forget about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Any geek week for you at all? Or
well,
just work?
I just got a comment on the people on the forums who said I'm not contributing.
You're not.
You didn't contribute even after reading that?
I haven't yet. I got two things to say. First of all, I had to figure out how to program the new website. It took me a little while.
Yeah.
And then I got World of Warcraft.
And Peter was never seen or heard from again.
So this is a geek excuse.
World of Warcrack, as Don likes to call
it. Yes.
But, yeah, exactly. You got it like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
and we played like two nights ago, and you kept saying, "Oh, I've played all these," and we'd switch to another another site. I've played all these. I got to the 13th level of this character. I went, "Wait a minute! You've had this a week, and you've played all the characters to level 15 already."
But I played all of them to level seven.
Right.
Well, I got a Tauren up to level 13.
Yeah, but if you know what you're doing, you could sneeze and get to level 7.
Easily.
And then I actually have a character that I'm creating without you guys, because you haven't been around, that's an undead warlock that just hit level 10.
What do you think of the warlocks?
Well, we're going to get to all that. I just, this isn't new, but I did pick up the Dork Tower. The Dork Side of the Goon.
Ooh, I love Dork Tower.
Yeah, and this came out actually at the end of last year, but I hadn't picked it up, and it is pretty freaking funny as usual.
I can't look at that character and not think of our friend Morgan, though.
Which one?
The goth girl.
Oh, the goth girl. Gilly.
This guy right here, Matt, is like way too much like me. He even likes like the GURPS games where everything's crunchy, and he... you know, mix up all the maps and all
are
the, like,
each of us a character in this strip, out of curiosity?
Let me think. Well, Morgan's definitely Gilly. Aaron is very much Matt. I have Matt aspects, being Matt.
Yeah, but Matt is like, I read it and I just like kind of get butterflies in my stomach because it's like a little too close to me.
I'm a little...
I think I may be Carson.
Yeah, I was going to say you're Carson.
Too close
I could be,
to home.
Well, no, I don't collect enough to be Igor. That's more Hugh.
You're definitely not. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Well, should we do some geek news?
Excellent.
Okay,
let's
doing the
do
the
geek
thing.
News.
I'll start off. All right.
All right, Matt.
The U.S. Air Force system was hacked into.
The U.S. Air Force system
was hacked into.
Was hacked into.
Today, it was hacked into.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. And records of 33,000 employees was stolen. So, yay. Even the USAAF is unsafe at the Randolph Air Force Base. The employees were informed about the incidents. And it's according to the Center's Assignments Director, Colonel Lee Hall, the system hacked into stored information like Social Security numbers and birth dates, and also career and assignment preferences of individual employees.
Oh, God.
Even though the system mentioned academic records, marital status, and a number of children of the employee, it did not store personal details like residential phone numbers, addresses, family info, and financial records, which, of course, you couldn't get if you have a mother's maiden name and the Social Security, which they did steal.
God.
So, yay. That's basically it. The employees whose records have been compromised were told to keep an eye on their credit reports for fear of identity theft.
Well, everyone should be doing that anyway.
Exactly.
Every 6 months, you know. And
I know, but that's a direct attack.
Every six months?
That's like
what?
Getting your wallet stolen and then saying, go make sure you look at your credit card.
Yeah, but every 6 months you should be checking your credit. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to start going down to every 3 months in the near future, just the way things are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every 6 months you should check your credit.
But they're pissed and they're increasing their security. So go ahead, hackers. Try it again. I dare you. I double dare you. Just don't touch my stuff, because please.
Because we're poor.
We're poor. I have no money.
So poor.
That's Matt King.
Oh, no.
All right. Los Angeles, California.
So there's a drug that offsets sleep deprivation effects in monkeys.
Really, okay. Peter?
So it's called caffeine.
Is this the French guys?
What?
This, boy, like about
it's
a year?
A drug made
no,
from
it's,
French
it's
guys?
Cortex Pharmaceuticals, Irvine, California. And
I think they're called Freedom Guys now.
Right.
Basically, they taught monkeys to perform delayed match-to-sample tasks, and then they kept the animals awake for 30 to 36 hours of sleep deprivation, and performance accuracy dropped to 63%. It was restored to 84%, which was their normal when they were given this drug. So
that's pretty kick-ass.
Basically, this drug in the future, what could be great about it is that, you know, people who have to stay awake for long periods can take it, and it'll restore their cognitive judgment. But I hear that – I did hear on the news – it's not in this article, but I did hear on the radio that there are some other problems with it, though.
Of course.
You still have some of the mood effects, like, you know,
getting
Jacob's
irritable.
Ladder. Well, you irritable. Can be pissed off. Everybody goes fucking ape shit and kills each other.
You can be pissed off, but you're still smart.
Yeah, exactly. You can focus, but you still get irritated and irritable and have rage and run people off the road.
What so about truckers, hallucinations?
They said nothing about hallucinations.
Now, a couple years ago, there was another... Some French scientist came out with a drug that allowed... When you took it, you did not feel tired.
It might be Provigil?
Now, maybe. But the problem with that one is that your body and mental skills still acted like it was tired. So even though you didn't feel like you wanted to go to sleep and you felt fine, if you took mental tests or physical tests, your body acted as if it was running out of steam and you kind of have this mental...
Isn't that just speed? This is still bad for your body, but your brain still stays more focused.
Now, you know? There's nothing you can take that won't be bad for your body that'll keep you awake.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So
here's the problem with all these things. I started thinking about this when the French pill came out because I don't really like going to bed. Like, I would rather just stay up all night. Love it. I feel like I'm missing out. Things to do.
You should read the sci-fi story called The Sleepless. You would love it.
All right, I'll check that one out. But here's the thing. Those pills would be great if you were the only one who could take it. The problem is that when everybody else can take it, our, 8-hour to 10-hour workday is going to start expanding to 12 and 14 hours because Joe Schmo is going to start taking it and he's going to get ahead in the office and he's going to start he's going to get the raises. He's going to get the promotions. And then, you're going to have to start taking the pill too. And pretty soon, you think our vacation days here in America are bad? Pretty soon we're going to all be hyped up on these pills because we have to keep up with some a-hole young guy who's popping these things.
That's exactly what the sci-fi story The Sleepless is about.
Young guys.
Yeah, as long as I at first I was like, ooh, I can't wait for this pill. And I was like, wait a minute. It only works if I'm the only one who can take it. Otherwise, it sucks.
Well, keep in mind the story from last week about the guy that stayed up 50 hours playing games and died. Right. There could be some.
I heard it
downside.
Was StarCraft, by the way.
Was it
that
StarCraft?
That was the rumor that really? It was StarCraft.
Wow. No wonder he died. StarCraft is huge in Korea still. They used to advertise Coke.
Really?
Yeah.
A cola?
Cola, yeah. Huh. And Pepsi and a few other things.
And Pepsi, but not the
as
cola.
As a quick aside, I tried a new geek food this week. Coke Zero. Have you tried this?
This is a geek food?
Seen posters.
It's good. It's Diet Coke that tastes like Coke. I'm shocked. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
With a different type of sweetener or something?
Don, we could effectively get...
Coca-Cola Company can send our check to Geeks On at... Sorry. Move on.
This is interesting. ABC right now is being sued over Lost. Apparently, really? A man named Anthony Spinner filed suit Friday in Los Angeles seeking unspecified damages. He claims breach of contract. Spinner claims that he was hired by Sid and Marty Krofft Productions in 1977 to write and develop a script for a television program produced by ABC called Lost, about a group of people group of survivors from an airplane crash who struggled to survive on a desert island, and all sorts of weird stuff happens. So he's suing.
Yeah, but didn't Sid and Marty Krofft do what was the one with dinosaurs and the Skeksis?
Land of the Lost.
Not the Skeksis. Yeah, Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Was this
Sleestaks?
The Sleestaks. Yeah.
I
missed that program. Wow. Sorry, I'm just going to reminisce for a second. All right, thanks. Yeah, wouldn't that have been the logical transition?
What was the ape's name?
I'm totally blanking.
The ape's cheetah, but Cookie or Coogie or something.
Not Cookie.
Man.
How'd the theme song go?
Oh, I can't remember.
All that's coming to mind is the Great Space Coaster.
All that's coming to mind for me is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 theme song, which I think is...
And remember the pylons? They would have to go into those weird structures and the crystals in there.
Oh,
crystals.
Yeah. I thought the crystals were cool.
All right. Anyway, that's it.
We got to do it.
ABC's getting sued.
We are like the ADD show.
Yeah.
All right, have I mentioned Coke Zero?
You know that the studios all, for any movie they make, they have a slush fund because they know they're going to be sued by like 10 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And all 10 people are going to claim that they stole it from them.
Right.
That's
why they don't accept scripts and ideas. If they even open up the mail and they look at an idea, then they can get sued for that. Yeah. So they don't look at – they don't take suggestions.
I've heard, though, that studios have been cutting down on that and fighting back more.
good.
That's just the rumor I heard.
Well, it's like, you know, it's an understandable thing. I mean, when you see something that's very similar to an idea that you have, you go, well, wait a minute, you know. But the reality is, I mean, you know, people come up with the same idea all the time.
Yep. Well, but this is the difference here is, A, this was reported in the Hollywood Reporter, so I think it's two, this was actually hired by people from ABC, so there's actually a paperwork trail on this one.
Oh, of course, but that doesn't necessarily mean that someone else didn't have the same idea, have an idea about a show on an island that's different, that
well,
was
true.
Entirely different and not come in, and have never seen that and come in and... You know, and,
true,
and create
true,
the
but
idea.
But their island had H.R. Puffin stuff on it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like...
I did hear it was a kid's show.
Yeah.
I know someone who did a superhero pilot many years ago. And he saw The Incredibles. And he was like, that's my movie. That's my pilot.
Yeah.
You know, and he was convinced, you know. And I was like, you know, that's an idea that I'm not surprised came out. I mean, it's where the thoughts are in...
It's also not terribly an original story.
No.
You know?
Yeah. It's fun to watch every time.
Yeah.
All right, Don.
Let's see. I have a little story here about billboards that will now beam advertisements directly to your cell phones as you pass by.
Not into your brain.
No. Not into your brain yet.
Yeah. Because we have that technology now.
Well, but, Gizmondo has that feature. They have the GPS, and they are, in order to bring the price down of the Gizmondo, they're putting advertising on the front, and they're saying that you'll be able to, like, when you get near the airport, you'll start receiving different type of, you know, so maybe it's the same type
of deal. Well, with this one, it's triggered by billboards. So it's like as you pass by, the example they gave here was their big test thing, was they put up billboards at 6 London railway stations where they were advertising Coldplay's new album. And it ended up offering 87,000 downloads to passerbys. 17% were willingly downloaded by its users.
Oh, they pressed yes.
You have to accept the ad.
Yeah, but how annoying would that be?
So far.
I suppose you could set it to... reject ignore. All ads.
Yeah, that'll drive me nuts.
But that's amazing that they got that many people to click.
Yeah, that is... Well, I mean, but it's so new.
It's
that's
brand
why.
Spanking new. I mean, the first time I saw a pop-up on the internet, I was like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah, you know? I mean, I was on this porn site and... Okay.
Interesting. Good for advertisers. And maybe for us.
There.
Like right. Coke Zero.
Speaking of beaming, TV's Red Dwarf and Doctor Who are now being beamed directly to your mobile phone. They are taking entire episodes of BBC cult classics, Red Dwarf, Doctor Who, and they're going to be made available for fans to buy and view on their mobile phones. Select episodes of the two series will be offered on multimedia memory cards following a licensing deal between ROK Player and BBC Worldwide. So you're going to be able to watch them. However, whether or not you would want to sit on a tiny, itty-bitty little tiny screen and watch 80 minutes of Doctor Who or Red Dwarf?
I get... Group 101 gets approached every month because our film group that we started has these little short films perfect for mobile phones. We're constantly being bombarded by all these companies who think they're going to make money off this. I don't see it. I don't see who is going to watch this. I have a hard time getting excited of the idea of someone could watch my little film on the cell phone.
Well,
I mean,
somebody's going to be watching Doctor Who and like that, so maybe you should pay attention because you could be making some cashola.
I know.
I think it'll happen, but I don't think anyone's ever going to really pay for it.
Here,
you know?
Well, what you do is you pay for these. Right now, you have to pay for channels, and I think there may be even be grouping channels together, but. I can tell you right now, there's a couple things I might watch on my phone. I might watch Headline News on CNN, just because it has little talking heads. And
it's more about the audio anyway.
Pornography. Those are the two things. I mean, what else?
Why would you watch pornography on your cell phone?
I probably wouldn't, but that's as far as the things I can imagine. Oh, come on.
I don't think that the pornography is going to take off because it's even on your phone, it's too visible. You know, if you're
touch your... thing. What the hell is that? Honey, what is it? Nothing.
They've been... Pornography has launched all the technology since the VHS up to the DVD and the internet.
Those have all been about what you can do in the privacy of your home. You know, in the privacy of your home, if you're doing it on the cell phone, you're missing... you got a lot of things that you don't have in your house.
Yeah.
If you don't have those in your house, you probably don't have a cell
phone.
Guess what?
Flipbook porn never took off either. You know, that was just too small.
Yeah, I may be right. Yeah. Maybe right. This is the new Doctor Who?
This is the old Doctor Who. This is
like classics.
Classics Doctor Who. Classic
Aaron just Red changed War. His mind.
Oh, I'll buy that.
I'll do anything. You see, Daleks.
Daleks.
Sorry. Gizmondo.
And what do they say?
We're cutting up his...
Matt.
I'm sorry.
Exterminate!
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Woo!
You don't remember that?
No. I watched maybe three Tom Baker.
Okay, I have to bring it up. Who remembers the Doctor Who episode where the stones from Stonehenge are running amok and drinking people's blood?
Yes, I did see that.
Okay.
I don't remember that one.
Now, considering how stupid that premise sounds, was that or was that not a freaky, scary episode when you were a kid?
I recall it was a pretty good episode. I actually saw it more recently than when I was a kid. I saw it within the last year or two. So, because they were thinking about doing a feature Doctor Who, mm-hmm. a film.
Right.
And my boss at the time was considering doing it. So I got to see some of the
old boned
episodes.
Up on some Doctor Who episodes.
It was pretty cool.
He boned on who?
He boned who?
No. What are we talking about here?
Peter, do you have any other news at all?
Yeah. Last week we talked about a study that said...
Wait a second. Is this a follow-up?
It's a follow-up.
Ooh.
Follow-up.
I'm excited.
Oh, I actually have to do a follow-up too.
Ooh. Google Yahoo study last week. The NCSA, you know... We said last week, or we reported, said that while Yahoo said that they were linked to, you know, many, many more web pages than Google.
18 million and 80
right,
million.
Like twice as many as
8
Google.
Million.
The NCSA study had said...
It was billion, right?
Billion.
Right.
Yeah, had said that seems like it's probably bullshit because they were getting way more hits for Google than Yahoo. They were getting better results randomly.
Right.
Well, this week, the NCSA has sort of said, you know, look, there are some problems with that study. It's not, you know, it's not absolute. So, you know, don't.
So they're recanting?
Well,
sounds like some lawyers got on board.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Basically, what they said is the study was conducted by the students, not by the NCSA. So they were students
lawyers.
There. And they're saying, you know, it's not an NCSA publication, was not conducted by... part of any NCSA project or under the supervision of the NCSA.
Totally lawyers.
And that there are some flaws, potential flaws with the study.
I trust a bunch of students, young students, surfing the web more than a whole bunch of suits who are like 45 and over making those. I mean, come on.
There's something to be said
about
that.
Damn 45-year-olds.
I'm not 45 yet, if that's what you're indicating. So I'm also going to do a follow-up. Remember the crazy story about the church who was going to take the children away?
And the Harry Potter book burning and sending
them to
Russia.
Oh, yeah.
I got caught.
Aaron Rickett.
It was false. I should have looked further into that website more and checked out all the articles. And you guys got to check out the website. It is pretty funny.
What's it called again? Because I know that website. I used to go to it a lot. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's we'll post the link to the homepage of the site. But it's a Baptist church, like
Landauer Baptist Church Ministries.
Right.
Is that the name of the website?
It's
something
so.
Like that.
They've got all sorts of really great articles. They look like reactionary, kind of just psychopathic. You know, church, and they've got all sorts of really funny stuff on there.
It's
get me.
LandoverBaptist.org.
LandoverBaptist.org.
Yeah.
The great thing about them is the articles ramp up. They sound completely legit, all of them, and then usually toward the end, they start getting more and more spectacular.
Well, that was the one where they were saying sending them to Russia.
Right.
Like
yeah. So it got, I mean, trust me, the only reason why I fell for it is because I read a whole bunch of other, you know, Satanist. Yeah, I read a whole bunch of real ones, so it didn't sound.
Well, I'm curious if you were linked there.
Well, that
I'm
Russian...
curious if you were sent there by a link by one of these other websites.
Who might believe in what they said?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I don't think I did. I did a search on it, and I think I got that way.
Speaking of which, did you hear what happened to Pat Robertson today? With his whole Hugo Chavez comment.
Yeah, start going assassinating
Why
people.
Why don't we go assassinate him if he thinks we're going to assassinate him? Yeah, that was genius, Pat. Thanks. Thanks very much. Go back to bashing homosexuals. That worked much better for me.
All right. Why don't you go? Because I want to save this one to last.
Okay. Just a quickie news story about something that was here in Los Angeles and I missed it. Basically, there are actually more than one exhibits traveling the United States right now displaying basically plasticine corpses mm-hmm. of people whose flesh has been, through a process, stripped of their body and replaced with identical-looking flesh. Yeah. So it's artistic renderings of actual people's dead bodies.
Yeah, but they're
being used as art.
It was down at the Science Museum here.
Right.
But fantastic. There are a couple different ones moving around the country right now. There's one here. The new story that I'm putting up there is
currently, it still here in Los Angeles? I don't think.
No.
No.
It left in January.
Yeah. Okay.
But this one is still in Tampa. It's breaking museum records down there. But what distressed me was the one that was here. All the bodies had been donated by people
mm-hmm.
who knew what the guy was going to do with them, was intrigued by his art, and wanted to contribute in some way.
Yeah.
Over here, though, this wigs me out a little bit. The bodies in the Tampa exhibit, which opened August 18th and is scheduled through February, belong to Chinese people who died unidentified or unclaimed by family members and were preserved at the Dalian Medical University of Plastination Laboratories in China.
There's a University of Plastination. That's all I got to say.
In China.
So yeah, it's Plastination U. You didn't hear about it?
These were bodies that basically they picked up off the street.
EU.
And decided to make art out of.
Wow.
So that, I'm... The one here in Los Angeles, I admit I didn't go, but I had a vague morbid curiosity of seeing it.
I heard it was great.
I've heard very good things about it, too. But this, I don't think I could support random bodies being snatched and used as artistic medium.
Not so much.
I think this is a bad
thing. That's a little funky.
Unless I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's bad. Okay. Bad. Bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to throw out a really creepy concept.
Okay.
Okay. You guys know, I mean, it's plastic, right? Some sort of plastic that they use that...
Yeah, it seals it. It replaces the actual... They soak the body or the organ or whatever it is into it, and then it replaces it and kind of takes it over. It's like the thing.
Okay. Yeah. So I just want you all to stop and imagine all four of us right now as if we've been plastinated.
Okay. I've gotten comments on our website that this show sounds like that it's
been plastinated.
That explains a lot.
Yes.
It could just cover a lot.
Very strange thought.
Considering the way I eat, my guts may be plastinated by now.
It's just peeps.
I'm like one McDonald's shake away from being completely plastic.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is back to the space race. China plans an unmanned moon mission by 2007.
Good. And
unmanned moon mission by 2007. And if that goes over well, they're going to get a second stage lunar vehicle to land on the moon and start working on the idea of bases and stuff like that by 2012.
That'll get us moving. It's good.
We're supposed to have them on there. Space 1999. I think we're a little behind.
Yep.
I think that'll start a new space race. Because you know, Bush is going to be like, my penis is bigger than any China man's. We got to get up there now.
Yep. Hopefully, Bush will be out of office by 1925 or 2019.
2007.
I don't know. It depends whether or not we can get these touch
screens. Yeah, well.
Peter, do you have any other ones? I have one more.
I have something that I'd like to show everyone. We should pause the...
Okay.
What are you saying? Hold on. We're
Peter, pause. Put that back!
We're pausing to look at Peter's something.
I can't see it.
My God, that was the biggest thing I have ever
seen.
It
was huge.
That was humongous.
A little long.
It was a little long.
So that didn't, sort of thin, that didn't actually work out. The download speed didn't work.
It was slash dotted, so I think it's having problems.
But what we were trying to look at was www.starrec.com, W-R-E-C-K. It's a Finnish parody of Star Trek.
That's Finnish, as in the European country, not finished.
Yes. But it's reminiscent of the fan film Star Wars Revelations, where it looks like it's actually got some pretty decent special effects.
Nice.
Again, it's a trend that I'm seeing where people are doing really high quality special effects on films that obviously have no budget.
Right.
Although the acting looks
as usual.
awful.
As usual.
Awful. What is it? I don't understand. It is not that hard to find people who can just...
Because they're not...
Actually, yeah, it is.
Read the Finnish language.
It's Finland.
Yeah, but they're not, again, they're not trying to find actors. These are fans who want to be in the films.
Right.
They want to be in there. Trust me, if I was an actor, you know, I would make a Star Wars film and I'd throw myself in there because I'm a Star Wars fan. But I know better. I'm not going to be in my own film because it would be
If you had a huge budget and you could do a walk-on role in your own Star Trek movie.
I could do a walk-on. I have the talent to do a walk-on.
Ensign Aaron.
Yeah. Kind of like what's Guy. His face? Yeah, like Guy. No, like
would you wear the red
Christian
shirt?
Slater?
Oh, right.
Captain.
That was so weird. I remember that.
He called up the guys and said, "I want to be on Star Trek." And they said, "All right, stop by."
I know,
set.
But Christian Slater gets to stand in a doorway and say they're waiting for you. Whoopi Goldberg gets to be on 3 seasons of the recurring show.
Well, he didn't.
She did the same thing. She was just like, "Hi, I love your show."
He didn't want to spend time to do a television series. He just wanted to be on Star Trek once. So.
Yeah. If I could do it, I would do it.
All right, this is my last one, and I just pisses me off. So I wanted to leave it for last. The Xbox 360 prices have been announced.
Ah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's been talking about this online. It's on every single site.
$150 bucks, right?
Right. Two pricing points.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, two pricing
That's
points?
That's right. Two pricing points.
Two different prices you
There's
can buy
two
it
for. Prices. There's the Xbox 360 package.
Okay.
And the Xbox 360 core system. Here's the problem, people. The Xbox 360 package, which includes everything we thought it was going to include, which was detachable 20-gig hard drive, wireless controller, headset, the component H hard or high-definition AV cable, an Ethernet cable, and for a limited time, if you buy it early, they'll give you the remote control that allows you to control, you know, the television and all the multimedia
devices.
Play
the DVD,
devices,
whole nine yards.
All that stuff. $399.
Whoa!
That's cheaper than I heard it would be.
So, right. So, well, I think that's I think people were thinking it would hit close to $299 and maybe up to $350.
I had heard $450 in advance.
Yeah, there's no way they would sell
no.
for that. Just no way.
I had heard that for quite some time, actually.
$399?
But $399, okay. Now, you can buy the Xbox 360 core system for $299.
Yeah, but then you got to buy all the peripherals.
You do not have to buy them. But here's the one thing that you don't have to buy that pisses me off. The 20-gig hard drive would not be on that system.
That's stupid.
You do not get the headset. You do not get the hard drive. You do not get the high-definition cables. You do not get the little remote control-y thing. Now, here's another problem. The only way you can use your Xbox games on the Xbox 360
is if you buy the hard drive.
Is if you have the hard drive, because in order for the to get those to work, they have to write a little piece of code for every little game, and it lives on the hard drive. And if you have Xbox Live, you can download the games that you have in your library to play them. The little piece of code. So here's the problem: the type of people who would buy the cheaper version, you know, the people who just don't have enough money, are the same people who aren't going to buy 10 Xbox 360 games. They're going to go back to their original titles and want to play those games because they don't have a lot of money. But they won't be able to because they don't have the hard drive. Here's my second, and this is the most important one, is we all know game developers develop games for the lowest common denominator so they can get the most people playing their games and purchasing the games.
Wow.
Here's the big problem that Sony, I screamed at Sony for doing it, they did it this last time, is that now I guarantee these developers will not write programs that take in the hard drive into account. They're just not going to do it. So now we've got all these possible things that could have happened using the hard drive, massively multiplaying online games where you can download new levels and new adventures and blah, 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 blah. Not going to happen. Now,
other
thing.
We don't know that for rote. I mean, it's a likely proposition.
Let's review.
Cassandra.
Let's review. Now here's the one good thing.
Well, if you're calling her Cassandra, you're not listening to him. So that means he's right and you're not paying any attention.
What maybe. Cassandra.
Okay. Here's the one good thing. Think about
I'm Sophia.
Think about how much you were going to spend if you let's say you only were going to pay the $299 for the Xbox, right? You would have to buy a little chip,
okay,
to save your games,
a la memory card.
Those usually go for $19 to $30 when they first come out. So let's say it's $25 bucks.
So they're basically making a PlayStation 2,
right? Well, okay, right, exactly. But then you also buy Xbox Live normally, right?
Right.
That's $25 for the headset. So we're already, if you wanted to just get to your Xbox, you would be spending $50 like you normally do. It'd just be like just what you normally do.
I have to ask a question. When I bought, I think it was the Dreamcast system I bought.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the core system for that one.
Right.
It didn't come with a controller. Does this one come with a controller?
Okay, here's the other thing, is the core system comes with a wired controller, USB cable.
Oh, bummer.
Okay. The other system comes with a wireless controller, all set up.
This suck is incredible.
Now, I don't really think this is that crazy. I would pay the $290 or the
$399
because I would buy a memory card. I would buy the Xbox Live anyway. I would buy the headset. It's going to add up anyway.
But you can afford it.
Yeah, this is an investment a lot of people can't afford. Yeah,
but here's the thing that I'm sure the price point's going to go down at some point.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Can Sony lowball them then?
I guarantee that Sony's is going to be more expensive.
Well, the thing is that Sony has always lost money on their PlayStation 2, but they've always made money on their games. So how much
They all do.
Yeah, how much money are they willing to lose on their PlayStation 3?
Well, that was the problem with Xbox, is because Xbox... They all lose money, but the Xbox lost a lot of money. What was packed into the Xbox was way more than what was packed into the PlayStation 2.
Yeah,
right.
And they lost gobs of money. And so I think they sat down and said, well, we can't do that again. We can't stuff it with stuff. Because in reality, this time around, the developers didn't use the hard drive that much.
Right.
They used it for downloads.
But that's about it.
Which was great for me because I was an Xbox Live junkie, mm-hmm. so I downloaded everything.
Right.
I had all the...
Have you filled up your hard drive on your Xbox?
No.
I'm nowhere near.
Yeah, me either.
But this time it'll be a lot easier because you'll be able to plug in your MP3 players and fill it up with all your own music. You'll be able to download all your photos. You'll be able to, you know, use... It's going to be a lot different this time around.
Interesting.
You know, all they have to do is find some way to link it to downloadable porn, and they'll take off.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously.
By the way, remember we talked about the rating systems and how parents and senators are out there, you know, coming down on games. And mm-hmm. another thing I forgot, and this is in the Revolution, PlayStation 2, and in Xbox, is that you can set the rating in which it accepts games. I totally forgot about that.
That's great.
You can set, if you don't want to play, if you don't want your kids to sneak in and play an M-rated game, you can set the Xbox to not play them.
And the current Xbox or
your current Xbox?
I can password lock it, right?
You can pass, and the PlayStation's the same way.
That's great.
I didn't know that.
So that's another thing. Parents just are not paying attention. All right, I'm done. I'm pissed, I'm done.
You've had a rant every week. You're turning into Dennis Miller.
All right. What's our topic to this week, fellas?
Our topic is World of Warcraft.
We're all in the game now. Yep. That's essentially why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
We're a little bit behind the
curve.
Took
you damn long enough. Yeah. Well, we're on the same time frame as the Chinese.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So all of our Chinese listeners
will be on.
Which we do have, I think.
Really?
No, I think we're only in.
We've got Australia.
No, we've got all sorts of.
What do you mean we're on the same time frame as the Chinese?
I'll show you. We've got them all over the country.
The Chinese got on World of Warcraft the same time we did. Effectively, they may have actually been a week ahead of us, but
they released it in China.
They got the game.
I see what you're
in
saying.
In China.
Okay, thank you.
At the same
time, it could take a little while for localized versions of video games to make it.
Got it.
Okay, so as our newer players, Aaron and Peter, what do you think thus far?
Okay, well, I played it a little bit in the beta.
Okay, now, yeah, Peter played at my house when I was on... No, you played in alpha. You played on the alpha test.
Oh, it was the alpha test, yeah. Sorry.
Peter played at my house when I was on the alpha
text
test.
Text-based.
Yeah, exactly. When everything was type, and the chats would roll like crazy.
First of all, we all installed Skype.
Skype.
Okay, if you haven't done that before, when you're playing the game, it's a completely different experience.
It's so much more fun.
I don't do the typing thing
Aaron
anymore.
Can't read.
Well, Aaron can't type.
I can't type or read. No, I just, you know, it just is just too old-fashioned. I mean, seriously, we're in a day and age. This is just BS now.
Aaron's on to thought transmission in his games, but he comes down to just speaking for the rest of us.
I have to share something with you. I watched one of Aaron's movies when I first met him, and it was this genius movie where you're watching a guy on a date talking with a woman, and then it keeps cutting back to, it turns out he's a prisoner in a research facility, and they're monitoring his intents against the fake woman he's talking to.
Right.
And so he's imagining that he's going to bring her back to his apartment and slash her up, right? So there's this constant readout analyzing all of his thoughts as you're watching this. And at first I'm watching going like, wow, this is amazing. I freaking love this. Wow, he spelled absolutely nothing right. I think that's supposed to say homicide, not himicide.
Yeah. I think there's only one misspelling in that one. Mm-hmm. I think I have another one that's mm-hmm. misspelled.
After
you know
the
space station one?
Aaron and I did a space station
one. I had to redo
one.
That special effect. It had said approach. I spelled approaching wrong.
Yeah, you said approaching wrong.
Well, the point is I'm done typing over and over and over in video games.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, come on, people.
It's hard, but I mean, I think I've heard that when the Xbox 360 comes out, there's going to be a bunch of new kind of live action console mm-hmm. MMORPGs that people can just talk over.
There's like five MMORPGs
and
already.
Incidentally, for those of you out there who are parts of guilds and you know, other large groups of people who like to play, Skype can only support four people at a time.
Five. It does five.
Five?
It's okay. Four plus you. Which is still a problem.
Well, no, that's enough for a party. Mm-hmm. Right? But for those of you who are parts of guilds and like to do a lot of raiding, there are other services out there like TeamChat and Ventrilo and stuff like that. The problem is those things require their own server.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. it can be a real pain in the butt if you don't have access to that sort of thing.
Now, however, if everybody had iChat, I think you can get up to 8 or 9 people on iChat, but you have to have a Macintosh.
Yeah. Also, if you...
You've put up with those damn widgets.
If you learn certain...
Stalking you.
If you learn certain guilds, like there's a guild called Blood Legion on the Illidan server that is fantastic and really takes care of its members and has a website and basically says...
There's an Illidan server?
There's an Illidan server.
Why are we not playing on the Illidan server?
Because it's full.
Very full.
It's very full. The alpha test, original alpha test, became the Illidan server.
Ah, okay.
So everybody who is uber on the original one was like, all right, let's go with Illidan. So... But Bludge Legion is really, really cool, but they're all high levels.
Shall we perhaps introduce people to the World of Warcraft who are not familiar with it and haven't played it?
Who are they?
And by the way, we also are going to put on our website where we're going to start our clan, the Geeks On clan, right?
Yeah.
One of us has to make it to 10th level on our official server, and we have to decide what our official server is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, we got a bunch right now, right? And Peter's got at least 7.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, and we'll have it on our website, and we'll start doing whatever.
And we will suck you all in.
Yeah.
So, okay.
What is World of Warcraft? World of Warcraft is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
MMORPG.
There you go.
From Blizzard Entertainment, who brought you...
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft and...
StarCraft.
And
Diablo.
And Diablo 2.
So long story short, what you do in it is you create a character from either the good guys, the Alliance, or the quote-unquote bad guys, the Horde. Then you're now part of that team. You then go into the world as your character, and you try and adventure. You pick up quests, you beat up villains... And you gain experience, and you make your character more and more powerful.
Like
and
a typical role-playing game. Right? Yeah. Computer role-playing game.
And then you can achieve new items to make yourself more powerful and all that sort of thing. Eventually reaching level 60, which is the max. And at that point, you're kind of like a little god in the world, and you run around and you do other things. But
and the catch is, that thousands of other people are playing at the exact same time.
So you could be playing with people from Australia and China, California, New York, Texas.
Korea. They're lots dying, of people though, from Korea. So don't worry about the people from Korea.
Because they play 50 hours straight.
Yeah. No, but actually, basically, you're playing on one set of servers per your time zone.
Yes.
So basically, California is playing with Australia, and that's about it. Mm, yeah. The other edge of Australia is playing with China and Korea, but that's about it.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. So if you check your time in World of Warcraft, it's the server time. It's not your current time.
Right.
Okay. Whatever. That's cool.
Okay. So, let's see. Horde versus Alliance.
Well, I think the Horde has better quests, truth to tell. I've played Alliance from just about every city, every starting point, and I've made every starting character, and a lot of the quests have not changed from day one of playing on Alpha. And day one of playing on Alpha was go out and get 10 pelts. Go out and do this. And
but
then
that's
they did
every single massively multiplayer, and that's my problem with it so far.
Right, but the Horde quests are much more interesting to me because I think they came and they found a lot more interesting ones like, all right, what I need you to do is make this potion. So get me 10 pelts and then go over there and pick 5 leaves off of these trees and get this. And they only activate the trees when you get the quest. You know, and then you can go and find the trees.
Alliance
and stuff like
has those quests too.
Right.
They're just differently flavored, you know?
Well,
my observation has been that Alliance tends to be more fantasy world standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're the good guys.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Camelot. It's kind of what you expect. Whereas Horde goes for a little bit more of a primitive spiritual skew.
Right.
So the flavor of the quests tends to be a little bit more blood and guts or higher spiritual achievement.
The thing that I found that I really like about the Horde is that there are two things. One, the shaman quests specifically are amazing because you're seeing things that other people can't see, which I think is a genius way to play the game in certain ways.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I think that the Horde quests generally tend to be more funny than the Alliance quest. So there's an undead quest where you're basically a Ghostbuster and you have to go find a poltergeist and trap it. There's an undead there's an orc quest where you go and wake up peons and you have to bludgeon them awake.
I don't completely agree with that because with the Alliance you actually have a race allied with you, the gnomes,
right,
whose entire purpose in the game is comic relief.
True.
Whereas the Horde does not have that. The Horde in fact has the opposite where they have the Tauren race, which is, you know, this kind of Native American spiritual-themed group that are very serious.
But I think the trolls are pretty damn goony funny.
They have in a
pink
mohawks,
for God's
sake. They're not really that funny.
Here's what I wish, and maybe we shouldn't bring this up now, but about these quests, is I wish there were storylines that linked together in the little areas that seemed active. Like, I wish that once you played in a little city, you knew the complete little mini story.
I would agree with that. I would love to see more stories.
I mean, there's little stories like, we're being invaded by, wolves, go kill 10 wolves. But what I wish was that they all made like maybe the 10 adventures made this little mini story that when you were done with the town, you go, that was a cool little area.
I suspect there may be. I suspect. I don't know this for a fact. Because, when I was playing Alliance, I found a series of quests in the human city that kept leading me closer and closer to the castle, the royal family, to the point where I ended up assassinating someone in the castle who was against the royal family.
Right.
And then I kept overhearing, quick, someone, we need to save the prince, the incoming attack. Oh, there's the dragon. Kill the dragon quick before he kills the prince. So I have no idea what that storyline was because I never participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be really curious to find out.
I also wish that they were a little more active toward you so that, let's say, when you enter the cave, even if it wasn't a cutscene, essentially a little cutscene where the person would say, oh, now you've entered the wrong, try to take the sword from me, blah, 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 blah. Just so that you just aren't reading Just these.
Well, again, the quests do involve you in the story, and you can learn a lot about the storylines. You can read some of the books that they've put on certain things.
But that's like, I can read the comic book.
But,
I don't
need
exactly.
If Aaron doesn't type and Aaron don't read.
Right.
Trust me, I'm reading those things because you guys don't read them. Read what you need and you leave.
I've read them 19 times.
You guys take off goddamn down the hill. I'm like, I want to know what the story is. You're like, I'm killing the wolf already. I'm like, what the hell?
I agree with Aaron on this one. It's like, one, the writing is not good in World of Warcraft. I'm sorry, but it's not.
No.
They need to hire writers, period. If you have 5 or 6 sentences to get across the information you need to get across, yeah, anyone can do it, but it takes a writer to make people want to read it. And Aaron is a perfect example of that. I'm reading it. I'm not interested, but I got to do it, right?
And everybody, generally, I would bet, scrolls down and goes, all right, what do I need to get?
Right.
All right, go.
Yeah.
And here's
and two, cutscenes. Come on. You know, we know why cutscenes are there. They're the rewards for doing things right.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's hard
reward
to find
me. Well, you start the game, you get one cutscene, and that's it. There are no other cutscenes after that.
And it doesn't have to be like those cutscenes. It can be in-game cutscenes, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't have to be that awesome stuff that we see.
I would have loved a cutscene at level 40 and level 60, for example. You know, when you make it back to your trainer, you've reached level 40. You are now you are now better than you once were, because everyone knows level 40 is the first goal.
Right.
And set up what the story for the next 10 levels is going to be.
Right.
In your next 10 levels, you know, it doesn't have to say this, but, you know, you're going to have to fight a big dragon at the end because it's raiding blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well, even if it was just you have unlocked this cutscene on a server, you can now go watch it.
That's like in 1980s stuff.
Hang on.
I'd prefer to be able to go somewhere and trigger it. But.
Well, it would be better if you could trigger it, but downloading something like that, you know, I mean, we couldn't download the Brekinning.
For example, though, Final Fantasy XI, which is one of World of Warcraft's bigger competitors. Mm-hmm. It's not huge anymore, but it's there. They consistently had cutscenes left and right. That was one of the big things about that game.
Right.
When you found a big boss, you know, your entire group would kind of step back and the camera would rise up above you all, showing you all as this dragon rose up out of the ground, leaned towards you, and said something to you.
It was an in-game cutscene, though.
Exactly.
Right. You didn't have to download anything.
Hmm. Okay, but that came with the disc when you came to you.
No. It's not a CGI movie. It's just utilizes the graphics that are in game and manipulating the camera angle.
So suddenly, instead of you being right behind it, the camera would move, like swing out. You would still be in the game and everything, and then the character would go, you know, even if it's simple, his arms would like wiggle and say, "Try to get the sword from me, you dirty dwarf." Well, and then it would swing back behind. You'd battle it. I mean, even the simplest thing like that I would feel like. I'm not just killing stone creatures.
You want
the time.
More people talking to you.
Now, I know that's extremely difficult in massively multiplayer games. It's very expensive, and you have to load all those voices onto the disc.
And people can kill you who are not in the trigger scene.
And
like, that's hard, you know?
And you also have the problem with adding quests when you need voiceover. But they've got to figure out something because the rest of the industry...
That's sort of the next step.
It is the next step.
Well, they just
that said, World of Warcraft has done a tremendous number of things right.
They just had an amazing conference that was all of the new gaming people, and they talked about how World of Warcraft is breaking every record in the entire book and basically saying that almost all of gaming will be heading towards things like World of Warcraft because they're making money hand over fist.
I disagree. We're going to see a few more heading in that direction. Yeah. And I'm familiar with the conference, too. I actually have it on DVD.
Right.
But long story short, World of Warcraft did not break new ground. World of Warcraft did nothing new.
No, but that's not what
Blizzard
does.
World of Warcraft just brought kind of the best aspects of other MMORPGs and then presented it in a new format with some excellent design choices.
Yeah, that's what Blizzard does.
Unfortunately, most of the MMORPGs that are out there right now have also not broken any new ground.
Right.
City of Heroes failing miserably right now because it's not bringing anything new, even with its new expansion, City of Villains.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy XI. Very similar to a lot of old games that have been
out.
Isn't
Evercrack 2 like getting hosed?
Evercrack 2 got hosed by World of Warcraft.
Because they didn't add anything new.
Yeah, exactly. So while World of Warcraft has kind of achieved a pinnacle, the next one can't just be an evolution of World of Warcraft.
No, what I'm just saying is that money talks to the business. And basically, because World of Warcraft said, look at the money that our 39 million users are bringing in every month, or whatever it is, however many million users.
Problem is, the next thing that comes out will be a clone.
Yeah.
It will fail. But the one that comes after it will be a clone. It will fail. And then people are going to declare that the MMORPG is dead. And it won't be until the fourth one comes out that is trying something new.
Huxley, the massively multiplayer first-person shooter for the Xbox 360 could be
Oh, that's right. We saw that at E3.
Halo meets World of Warcraft.
Well, there is actually a first-person shooter out there already. My brother plays.
Oh, there's several.
Yeah, they're
massively multiplayer.
Yeah,
like massively thousands
of people. But it's sort of a.
As far as I know, though, the experience you gain does not carry over between games.
I don't think it does, actually.
Yeah. For example, Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein Enemy Territories. I've pitched it before on the show. It's a free download. You can play it anywhere you want off of any computer, and it still holds up. It's an excellent game. And you choose your class in a World War II scenario, engineer, medic,
but
lieutenant.
That's not massively multiplayer.
It is.
It is.
If you're playing with thousands of people, then yes, you're
massively multiplayer.
No.
It has
you play
massive...
with 30 people, and then your scores get kicked. I mean, you're not playing with thousands of people. You're playing.
I think you're playing with at least hundreds.
There's
nothing like that.
There is a game where you play with thousands of people, and I my brother's played it before, and you have snipers. It's a combat game. You know?
I mean, the closest thing that I know of is Battlefield, and that's like 64.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, you're making that distinction.
I mean,
okay.
We could pause it, and I could call my brother to find out what
it
is.
Well, no, that's fine.
No, I see what you're saying. You're making that distinction.
Now, something that does, the new Rainbow Six for Xbox that's coming out, just like the other one, but you're going to like this. It's got the class system, medic, engineer, all that. It's got skills. Now, here's the cool thing. It's got a massively multiplayer RPG element, where every time you get scored and you do well, you get to choose what skill you want to increase. And that saves on the computer. Now, you don't shoot any better. It's just like a regular first-person shooter. You got to have skill. But all your secondary skills, medic, reviving somebody, opening up locked doors, computer hacking, building turrets, and all that are based off of your skill level.
Cool.
Including money that you earn. You can buy different armor,
that's
different
nice.
Weapons.
I like that.
So it's kind of like the in-between stage.
Right.
Okay, that
but
sounds
I,
like fun.
What I think will be the next big thing is people incorporating the aspect of mini-games into the game itself.
Yes.
Just like, God of War did, and you got that kind of half cutscene, half game every single time you beat up something big by doing the minigame, but it kept you going and you got your character still doing some amazingly cool thing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was such a genius aspect of it that's what I really wanted to, want to see in the new games.
This is called Planets. I'm just interrupting. This is Planetside.
Oh, Planetside.
And
you're right.
It's the first person shooter.
You're right. That came out about 6 or 7 years ago.
It's been out for a while.
Yeah. It didn't do too well, but you're right.
Ha-ha!
There was actually a... I know we're way off topic, but there was actually a Microsoft game, Freelancer. Actually, Lisa and I were talking about this at lunch the other day. It was a spaceship flight simulator that was massively multiplayer, and one of the people of each group played the top-down tactical view.
Oh, cool.
So he would see entire different servers going on, and there would be resources and different servers, and you could tell who owned it.
That's
so
badass.
He could click on it and say, I need three people to go to this server. Then you
I
would,
want that.
That's badass.
It's like 10 years ago it came out.
Don and I like playing.
But what happened? So each server that. Only held about 12 people, but he could see all of them. So what you would do is you would warp to that sector. You would see an asteroid belt with the resource and the enemies protecting it, and you would have to raid it, and they would add to your team.
All right, here's my pitch. My pitch is Robotech Macross Saga, Zentradi the Giants versus Macross the Little People, and you play it like that, where you can have these gigantic space battles and stuff like that, but basically, you can also play in the tactical format. That would be really, really freaking cool.
Okay, well, the rumor, Halo 3 has the commander level.
Yeah, but it's not Robotech.
Yeah, but Robotech.
Moving on.
Okay, well, here's what I was going to say. One of the things about PlanetSide that made it an interesting game was you had three different factions, and you're trying to take over the world, okay? And when you joined into a server, you know, literally the battles would – you would see them sweeping across continents as they would take – you know, when they would –
They would pilot you in.
They would pilot you in. Right. You would attack. And what was great about that was that the world actually changed.
Mm-hmm.
You affected the world. One of the problems right now with Warcraft is that I was explaining Warcraft to some people today, and they said, okay, so you go on a quest and you kill someone. What happens? I said, well, he respawns in 5 minutes. He goes,
right.
Well, what? Then why does it matter that you killed him? I said, well, for you it matters, but it doesn't matter for him. Well, he's like, well, but that doesn't, you know.
May
I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Don, I've never taken a character past level 45, and that was a long time ago, like right when beta first.
So before player versus player.
No.
Okay.
Yes, before player versus before player, player mattered. Player, yeah.
So now, life quests. Do life quests exist at a later state in the game? Because they were pitching life quests for World
of Warcraft.
I
haven't seen life quests in the game
yet.
Okay,
so they were pitching life quests in
They've
Alpha.
Got a lot of stuff in there that they haven't implemented yet. They've been talking about quests you can only get when you're dead.
Right.
I haven't heard about anyone who's actually seen them yet.
Yeah.
Well, because when you die in World of Warcraft, you form as a ghost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of in the real world, but a paler spirit version of it.
It looks like Ring. It looks like
Ring
Vision
world.
Right.
And then you run to your body, and then you respawn. One of the things they've been planning is that there are going to be people in the world of the dead you can go up to and get quests from.
Yes.
That's right? Cool.
Not implemented yet, as far as I know.
Yeah. Now, Battlegrounds is the newest thing, and I think Battlegrounds is a great new extrapolation
I'm just started playing Battlegrounds for the first time
What'd
recently.
Now, that's like a mini game, right? You actually leave the planet or the world of blah, blah.
Yeah, but
you
it's like
small...
anytime you've done a big quest in World of Warcraft, you go to basically a point that looks like a big swirling vortex. You go in the vortex, and there's a dungeon. And that dungeon is separate from the rest
it's
of World of Warcraft.
Different server.
It's an instance.
It's an instance.
Oh.
Right? So basically, it's an instance dungeon. So anytime anyone goes in there, it's only you guys. If you
So far, I haven't received what I've been promised with Battlegrounds.
Okay. What level are you?
I'm level 53 with that character.
Oh, well, okay. So you're up there. So I don't know what to tell you.
What I was told is that you would go into Battlegrounds, and then like people of all levels would be able to play. All of you would have different, you know, roles to play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that, like, you know, the low level ones would be collecting gold and collecting lumber. The high level ones would be off to assassinate their big bad guys. You know, the mid level ones would be protecting the people trying to collect stuff.
And you're playing against real people doing the exact same thing. So it's
real
player
people,
versus
exact
player.
Same thing.
Okay.
Same kind of level schemes they're supposed to set it up as. I have not seen that yet. I'm told it's there. But
well,
I have never successfully seen it.
What did you play?
What happens to me is I go in. Huh?
What did you play on? Alterac Valley? Or?
War Gulch.
War Song Gulch, right.
Okay. Those are the only two I've found. I have not seen any other offerings for that yet.
So you have to find a person to offer it, or how do you get to it?
In each city, there's someone there who is the battle master who you just sign up for.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay.
So you sign up for it, you go play the game, like maybe half an hour later, you say, you've now been invited to join the battle. Would you care to do so? If you do, you get teleported from wherever you are to the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all the battles I have participated in are big, elaborate games of Capture the Flag.
Right.
Okay, and that's it.
Right.
No variance to it whatsoever.
Right.
So you run out, you try and capture their flag, get it back to your flag, that's it. And as far as I can tell so far, it's divided up by 10 levels. So level 40 through 49 will play together.
Mm-hmm.
Level 50 through 60 will play together.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks if you're level 50, because then you go in and
you get hosed.
You get hosed because everyone's level 55 and up, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they broke up the levels a little too much. So, and if you're a lower level character, there's nothing to do.
Right.
Like, I was a level 51 priest the first time I played, and I'm like, why am I here? I'm like, I can't even heal these people enough.
Right.
So,
well,
it's not.
What about,
it's not as advertised
now,
for me yet.
What about the player versus player? Are there cities that are up for grabs that you can take over as a group? That see now that to me is the way the
there
game should
are
be
cities
played.
That are in contention and areas that are in contention.
That's not what he's asking.
Like, can you get a whole bunch of people and say, "Let's go grab that city"? capture the flag or talk to the innkeeper or whatever it takes to capture the city, and then we get all the benefits for that city.
No.
See, and then we can move to the next city and expand the horde.
No.
No.
And then they have to fight
The way
back.
It works right now is there are things called raids. Mm-hmm. You can join a raid, and the raid can be up to like 60 people. It can be huge screaming horde of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then your goal is to go over to this other city, kill all the guards, kill all the people in that city, just mm-hmm. wipe that city off the map.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've never completed a raid, I'm kind of making up what happens next to mm-hmm. my understanding. Like some beast will show up that you have to beat,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I think. And then if you beat that beast, then everyone involved with the raid gets a very special reward.
Yeah.
If and you then look, the city goes back to being contested yes. again.
If you look on Blood Legion, they have journals of all of their raids, and they're very successful at doing all of them. So if you want to know what raids on cities are like, if you want to know, you know, what happens when you kill Thrall or you kill the heads of some of the big of the whole game, what happens, they explain it there as well.
It seems like it would be cool as if when you logged in, you could always check a map and see who owns what. Just like yeah. Warcraft 3. Okay, just like say, you look down and go, there's the map, and you go, ooh, that city is neutral. Let's go. I'm going to grab 40 people. We're going to go grab that city, put our flag there, and then the map will change. You look and you say, okay, they own that, and it changes over time. You can see it. People fighting over that would be a cool idea.
I agree, and that's sort of what I heard that Battleground was going to be.
Yeah, that's what Battlegrounds not is effectively supposed to be.
You but know? What do you win and lose? Just the
Battlegrounds is effectively
you
supposed to be the battleground areas, the contested areas in between.
Mm. You know? That doesn't sound
well,
the same.
Well, see, here's the two things that they would have to do to pull this off. Okay, number one, they would have to. Because Planetside does this.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
It allows you to fight this. They would have to say that, you know, you can only come in with a certain type of character, you know, so that it's always balanced. So that there's not like, you know, 90 people, you know, 90% of the people in Alliance and 10% in Horde.
But always, I'm sure most servers are pretty much even.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that what's going to happen is that you're going to, once one server starts to get top heavy on one side, mm-hmm. people will all go to that side because you won't have any territory that you can take because you're too weak. So what Planetside did was as you came in and wanted to join in, they would look and they'd go, okay, well, there's not enough people on this side. You have to be on this team.
Mm, okay. I see.
So that's one thing that they
That'd
would have
That'd be
to,
cool with me if a player versus player ensured that we'd have a good game.
I just want to play with my friends, though, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, so like they'd have to figure something out with that, you know? They'd have to figure out a way that it would balance the game. If one side is winning, then everybody who's new goes to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just do that when you go in and you look down that list of servers and everything. It just says closed for Horde, closed for Alliance, closed for Horde, whatever.
I've never seen it say that.
No, that's what I'm saying. That would be the way to do it. You
right.
know?
So
of the different groups, we've already discussed Horde versus Alliance. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite races?
Okay, well, I have to just second what I heard earlier. Something was said earlier. I've found that so far the Horde is more fun to play because of the types of quests. You know, you get the Vision quests. The Shaman's quests are great.
So much fun.
They're,
the Tauren quests have been more fun for me. Yeah. I've only played three, but those like following the wolves were cool. You know what I mean? Like you have these Vision quests. They seem just to be a little more thoughtful and different.
Yeah, because when you have a quest that happens. You don't just, it's not just go get 10 things. It's like you do have sort of a cinematic. You have a wolf. Follow the wolf to the cave.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can see the wolf except for you.
Right.
You know, except that there were three of us and we had three wolves we were following.
Right.
But you guys didn't even get to see, you know, when I was playing, there was a quest I had to run and do. I go to this rock and I drink this drink and all of a sudden there's this giant flaming creature.
Mm-hmm.
Right there that no one else can see but me.
Yeah.
And all around him, there's these little tiny fire elementals running around.
Mm-hmm.
And you commune with the elemental that you're talking to.
Every character class has quests like that.
Do they?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, every single one.
The thing about the shaman, though, is nobody else can see it.
Right.
And you can be there, and you're going, ooda, 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 wow, cool, look at this stuff.
Right.
So,
but, for example, I have a level 60 paladin,
uh-huh.
right? The paladin quests were so humdrum,
uh-huh.
I was really disappointed after hearing some of the shaman stuff. The paladin quest was like, go to a lake, find the dead dwarf, bring the dead dwarf back to life, and come back here. And that was it.
Right.
You know, nothing cool to
That's
look at.
That's what I'm saying about
you know?
The Alliance stuff, well, is I feel like they did it first, and then they thought up all the cool ideas and did the Horde next and never went back and sort of fix the Alliance stuff. Because God knows I went to Stormwind for ages.
That said, though, I find that the Alliance cities are hands down much more pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All the Horde cities look alike to me.
The Horde cities look Horde cities are badly organized. That's what I would say.
What I meant was all the outposts look the same to me. Yeah. The cities look different. I'll admit that.
I wish you could have seen what the Undead City looked like originally before they had to cut back on it because people couldn't download it.
Oh, really?
I mean, everybody lagged as soon as they went into the Undead City. But it used to be just lava, 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 this green ichor pouring everywhere, huge things and like undead creatures everywhere. And then basically everybody went, this doesn't function on my computer anymore. I'm just at the bank staring at a wall.
I want to back up a second to what you were saying after we get arrested. you were saying that the Paladin quests aren't interesting. You know, this is one of the things that's kind of sad because you could make the Paladin quests. A Paladin's a person who's a warrior of God.
Yeah.
So you should be able to have quests where you go someplace and you pray, and God talks to you. You should
a mission from God.
Yeah, you should see. Yeah. You know the God.
Do you know what the Paladin quests were, though?
Well, you told me.
Oh, I found there was another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to the human city. A guy says, "Oh, you're pretty powerful now. Here's a slip where you can go get a horse. Go to the stable. Here's a free horse."
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. You know, the clerics and the paladins should have gods that they talk to. If you're a druid, you should go someplace, and all of a sudden, a tree has a face.
The druid quests I hear are wonderful. Apparently, there is a city just for druids.
Yeah.
Is that what I am?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a
druid. I don't even know what I am.
There is a city just for druids.
No, he's a Tauren druid.
You're a Tauren shaman.
Druid. Shaman. No. Druid.
He's the druid.
He's a druid.
Peter's the shaman.
You can be a Tauren druid.
You can be a Tauren druid.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you can't be an Alliance shaman.
There is no Alliance Shaman. And there is no Horde Paladin.
That's the lousy trade.
Yeah, okay.
They're
moving
all
on.
Area.
Okay, we've discussed races. What race do you like, Matt?
My favorites are standard. Tauren and Night Elf. And actually, Gnome. I really
they look
gnomes.
Cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I just love those because it's just so much fun to dance like Michael Jackson.
Okay. I consistently make Dwarven females because nobody else playing the game anywhere plays Dwarven females.
Right.
So I was running around level 60 and level 60s were running into me saying, "You're a Dwarven female? I've never seen a Dwarven female."
Well, can we talk
here's
about
some
that?
Gold.
Yeah. Can we talk about the gender thing? Because my first character was a woman because I always, like when I play games online, if I have to stare at their ass for hours and hours, I'd rather just pick the female character.
And
you know?
Just got hit on and hit on.
I couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't take it in this game. I was like, no, seriously.
I'm a guy.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta go. I didn't want to say I'm a guy every time. I'm like, no, I gotta go. Well, do you wanna go on another quest? I'm like, no, I'm just gonna go and like check this out, learn the game.
I'm gonna go shower.
Yeah, I'm like, I finally was like, I'm a dude, okay?
Oh, okay.
I'm a dude. Oh, okay, okay. You don't want to take your clothes off and dance? I'm like, come on, just
actually,
leave me alone.
I have to admit, one of the things that cracks me up most when I was playing on Tychondrius with a dwarf, it seemed guaranteed that every single time I went to the human city, there's a bar in the Mage Quarter called the Blue Parrot,
mm-hmm.
where there was almost always a naked dance party going on.
Right.
Not just like two or three people, but I mean, like you'd walk in and there's like 18 naked characters on tables and bars hanging from lamps dancing naked.
Yep.
It was very funny.
Yep. Now, but you had said the advantages of being a female is that you get presents.
Free stuff constantly.
That's good. That's
especially
actually good.
As a female dwarf because, you know, okay, here's the wonderful
trade-off.
It's
just like life.
Here's the wonderful trade-off being the female dwarf. You're kind of cute and you've got a figure, right?
You've got a figure.
But it's sort of an ample, earthy figure. So people go, "Oh, female, hardy female. Here's stuff, but I don't want to do you. So let's just adventure together," you know? Whereas the human females and the elven females are all lookers. So.
Yeah, I got to say the elven females are cute.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know.
Well, the dwarven stay away from my elven not. Female.
Yeah,
I'm just you know, I created an elven elven,
which is interesting to me because I think what I've noticed, Alliance is like 70% female, 60% female. Horde is like 20% female.
Well, yeah,
because you can't make a pretty Horde character.
No,
right.
The closest you can come is some of the troll females are almost palatable, but
sort of in a goth sort of way.
Not even goth. Sort of like Babylon 5.
You can't do
sort
like what about the undead? Like, I haven't even explored that.
Can't make it pretty.
Can't be like
undead.
Can't cool make it pretty. But they're prettier than
they should have done like some cool like hot goth.
You
like,
can do some very cool stuff with the undead looks.
Yeah, the undead looks are great.
I love my priest. I took the face model that basically it has a rictus of horror and despair. It's like the character can't believe what's happened to her, right? And then just removed the bottom portion of her mouth, so it looks like she's wearing this kind of gag. It's disturbing.
Yeah, they got.
No, I think those are some of the coolest characters, but
yeah. I think the design for the horde generally is better.
So, character classes. Oh, Aaron, you haven't told us what you like yet for a race.
Oh, race. So far, the Tauren is... I haven't gone through all the races. Tauren has been my favorite so far.
Now, is this just on a looks basis, or...?
No, I thought I thought a couple of the early quests that we did together felt more mixed up. And even the places that I went, even in that first area, seemed to be a little more different. Like, we went up into the hills in that desert area.
Yeah.
And they go through those guys. And then we killed the standard wolves, wolf. And then we had the vision quest. It just seemed to mix it up more in that first area. I mean, I'm not sure in the upper levels if it's mixed up, but there was more variety so far. So that's the reason.
What do you mean in the Alliance lands?
In the Tauren land.
It's funny, though, the way they designed the character kind of backgrounds, it seems to me like Tauren's probably should have been on the Alliance side.
Yeah, I know. American and...
Yeah, yeah.
But that follows Warcraft 3, like, how it happened.
But the other thing is that...
I understand, but...
You know, they really do. I mean, even if you play the undead, okay, because I just created an undead character.
Peter's 70th character.
And, well, because, you know, we've now got characters that we play with each other.
Yes, right.
And I needed a character to play
on
my
Peter,
own.
You play video games like a crack whore.
Addicted. Yeah. You have to understand, if I don't get my fix, I'm not going to be able to, come here, I can't.
But the good thing is that you don't feel like bad guys all the time.
No, well, actually, the undead, yeah, they're not really bad.
Right.
You know, it's like I was really hesitant to play them because I was like, do I really want to go and get...
Of all of them, though, the undead are definitely the baddest.
Yeah, yes, they're definitely far. The baddest.
I mean, you pick up all these quests where it's like, make a plague, torture people with them. And I'm like, okay, I feel dirty now.
But the cool thing about being on the bads, the quote, bad side, is that you're not, it's, you know, like every side to every war, every battle, the people on it don't think they're bad.
Yeah, that, you know I agree. Mean? That was good
and
writing.
That was kind of
left over from Warcraft 3. Yeah,
right.
The coolest thing about the undead for me is that you can eat corpses.
That's really pretty gross.
It's awesome.
And that actually has utilitarian value, too.
Yeah.
If they're soul stoned, they can no longer res themselves.
Right.
Okay. We've gone over races.
Really? I didn't know that.
No.
It prevents them from resing themselves.
Prevents them from resing themselves, yeah. It's great.
Oh, on a player versus player?
On a player versus player.
I mean, they can still go back to where the skeleton is and res.
Right.
Yeah.
But
no one else can res them with...
People can res them, but there's a specific ability that Shaman
and... the Warlocks have.
Shaman and Warlocks have that let you press a button and fully res yourself.
Yeah, you'll be able to create
if
a soul stone.
If I eat your body, the soul stone can't help you anymore.
With a Warlock, you'll eventually be able to create a soul stone. And when you create that soul stone... You can use it to res yourself, or you can use it to heal yourself.
Which lets us move on to the next subject.
Wait.
Classes.
One thing before classes. Have you made human females dance yet? That's all I got to say.
Are they still doing the Macarena?
No, they're not doing the Macarena. They dance like white girls without rhythm from Wisconsin.
Oh, that's funny.
They practically have an overbite. And it's bloody hilarious. It is so funny to make these little girls just do the shake and tushy dance. It's just funny.
I have to bitch about my... Okay, one of the things that people who don't play World of Warcraft might not know, there are a couple fun things that everyone can make their character do. One, you can type in the command /flirt, which lets you put out a random flirt of some kind, usually 6 or 7 different ones per character, race, and sex. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can do the same thing with /silly, to tell jokes.
Right.
And the last one is every single character, race, and sex has a dance, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that pisses me off with a female undead, right, which I play for the priest, they do this goth dance, right?
Yeah.
Where their hands are up in the air and they do this kind of wavy thing. Their hands pass through their head.
Oh.
Entirely through their head. I can't tell if that's an intentional thing because they're undead and ghostly or just a really bad
There is actually a site, and actually I'll see if I can find it. I don't remember what it is, but there are actually hundreds of emotes. They're not just about 20. Yeah. There are hundreds of emotes that you can do, but you need to know what the commands are for them, and a lot of them are secret.
Anybody who's played the old IRC, any of the old IRC games, all those are in this game. Like every single one of them.
We should put that up for people to look at.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, every mud, every mush you've ever done has, like, they're all in here.
Okay, so classes. What's your favorite class to play?
Thief.
Well, as you know, my role-playing game, like pen and paper, is Thief, and I had a blast playing my first one.
Okay, and now, incidentally, rogues are the most popular character class on all servers. Now,
They're pretty fun.
I so far don't understand this. I tried a character because Matt... You know,
I love rogues.
Matt told me about it, and I was bored to tears. But I didn't get very far with the character.
Yeah,
you know,
rogues play like fighting games.
I was bored to tears.
I agree. Actually, I mean, I enjoyed the rogue as a change of pace. Uh-huh. If that was my primary character,
It was fun with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, I love the backstabbing, and because instead of just hitting the button and going, I was constantly trying to maneuver and getting behind. Like, I felt I was playing
a fighting game.
Yeah, instead of just the hit attack.
I agree.
You know, watch it fight for you, sit there, hit the one, hit the two.
Yes, that's why I hate the warrior class. I think all the classes that are interactive are the ones that play better. Warlock, mage, thief, shaman.
The thing is, though,
druid, you're really,
all of them are circumstantial. Warrior is actually intensely interactive once you get into groups.
Mm.
The warrior is probably the most interactive at that point.
Really?
Because you're responsible for keeping... The warrior class is responsible for making sure all of the monsters you're attacking are attacking yourself.
Right.
Right? So if you're fighting five different monsters, if one of them breaks off, runs away, and starts hitting your healer will die. And
so
that's
and
your fault
them.
As right. the warrior. You need to go over there
right.
and get their attention back on you while keeping the attention of the other four on you.
Right.
That's not easy.
Hmm.
Now,
so
I have
good
a question.
Warriors are hard to find.
It's about grouping now, because I've only played up to level, whatever we're at, 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't died yet. We have been kicking some ass,
well,
and I'm
groups.
Wondering. I'm wondering as
we've
a group.
We've been playing as a group on low levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most people do not group at low levels.
No.
Okay.
And you actually level faster when you don't group at low levels. I've found.
I disagree.
Really? I found. I mean, I leveled about when we were playing all together.
Mm-hmm.
I leveled my character in half the time that it took me to get the same level.
Well, that's partially because we were explaining to them how to play.
That's true.
Okay. That was my fault.
It's on
but,
the left side.
So it will get more difficult as a group?
Oh, I guarantee you, yes.
Okay. Because
once you hit level
like,
15, like around 15, probably a little sooner than that, you can't really beat unless you've got a group.
Okay. Because
you know?
As a my character is not fun right now as a buffer.
There are two different types of quests you'll find. There's the regular quests,
right.
and then there are quests that are marked elite. If you don't have a group with
an
elite
quest...
You won't win.
You're in trouble. Okay. And it's the same. It can be you're 10, he's 10, he's going to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can be
and
two levels higher.
We also
him,
made an excellent group of balanced characters.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like we had the warrior to attract attention.
Mm-hmm.
We had the priest and the mage to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the priest to keep everyone alive.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice balance.
Right.
You know,
if I bring in a druid, is that still going to be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just have to get your ass over to us so you can adventure with us.
Exactly.
Which is not that hard.
No.
It'd be easier for
you
to bring in a human because you can take the train.
Right.
But what character class have you enjoyed, Peter, since you've been kind of sampling all of them lately?
Shaman has been... I like the mage and the shaman.
Okay.
So the mage was... Is he called the mage in it?
Yeah.
Mage.
You like power
damage. He puts down damage and fast, you know? And that was a lot of fun.
Hunter,
you'll
I
find
have to say the hunter. I did have fun playing.
Oh,
the
wait
hunter.
Until you get a pet.
Yeah.
You're gonna
that
love
sounds
life.
Fun.
When
have
you
not had
fun.
A pet yet?
No.
Oh, they're so much fun. You feed them, and actually, let me. Sorry.
All right.
Feed them. You love me.
I got excited.
George.
Back in the beta, the very first start of the beta, they didn't say that you couldn't charm elites, and you could charm any creature in the game. So what I did was I went out and found Cerberus, effectively, which was like a 50-foot-tall freaking wolf.
Yeah.
Right. And it was so awesome to be this teeny-weeny little dwarven hunter.
running around with a 50-foot wolf.
That doesn't happen anymore.
You can't do that anymore.
No. Okay. Though there is still one enormous creature you can tame. That's some sort of giant turtle.
Turtle one, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Darkshire somewhere. I'm walking around the corner of a house, and then I walk into this another wall, and I'm like, there wasn't another house here. And I looked up, and it's the side of a turtle that's as big as the house I had just walked around.
I want one of those.
Yeah. You can get a wyvern. You can get, like, a dragon.
All right, so you're feeling the shaman right now.
So far, the shaman's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Mm.
The warlock has been interesting.
Mm-hmm. I love warlock because they're really interactive.
The mage.
See, warlocks I don't enjoy.
Hmm. Well, he hasn't been as much fun.
Have you gotten to make soul stones yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Just got to make soul stones, and that's fun. But the one I like the most so far is definitely the shaman, because he's got these great quests that nobody else gets to see and do.
Yeah.
It's special.
True.
Okay.
You know,
straight out.
But I'm interested in the hunter. The hunter looks actually very cool.
Well, for me, it's been priest. I'm really enjoying playing the priest. The paladin, you know, I played the paladin for a long time.
Paladin bored me to tears.
And I thought I was having fun, right? Until, you know, they introduced the PvP, and I started trying to do PvP, and I discovered the paladin can't participate in PvP.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm a munchkin, but originally I loved paladins, and now I played them, and I was like, this sucks balls.
But with the priest, like, one, I enjoy healing. I don't know why that is. I just like being the healer in a group. But... Yeah. They added this ability.
My friend Mike would say, whenever we said, I would always go, I'll play the priest. He would go, okay, that's handy. That's what the priest was.
Well,
handy.
And keep in mind with this one, for all of you out there who are going, oh, the priest, yeah. The priest ain't like it is in every other game. The priest can deal damage just as well as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do it a little more trickily, because he can do things like vampiric embrace.
Is that a word?
Trickily.
Bite me.
Okay.
So he can cast Vampiric Embrace on someone, at which point, if every time I do shadow damage to that person, 20% of the damage I deal is healed to everyone else standing around him. So I can just sit there, and I might not do as much damage as you, but I'm healing all of us in the process.
Yeah, that's
good. It's very handy. You know?
That's good. Wow, that was one of the geekiest statements that Geeks On has ever said.
But, I wouldn't go that far.
No, you don't think so?
All right, we need to wrap this up because we were going to do a half hour. We've now done an hour of World of Warcraft.
Oh, my God.
Easily.
People are falling asleep at the steering wheel right now.
Let's talk about skills.
All right.
Okay, well, whip through skills real quickly.
I mean, I haven't done many skills. I haven't gotten very far in them, but they're fun. It's fun having
those really
abilities.
Fun.
With World of Warcraft, here's my problem.
Yeah.
You can never quite catch your skills up to what you need.
Yes.
You can never quite be producing the weapon that you want to be using at the level you're at.
Unless you're with a guild.
Unless you're with a guild, and even then, not entirely.
We had, with Blood Legion, they were so good about what we need is another leather worker. And every day you would go and you would get on the game and you would check your mail and you would have scads of leather. Because everybody shunted it to you. And I thought that was genius. Mm. And basically that meant that if people mailed you requests for things, you could send them what they needed and get it out.
That's been my thing as the priest of the guild I'm with now, which is I'm the enchanter, right? So if they find a green item they don't need, they always send it to me. I disenchant. The trade-off is I give free enchants to whoever needs it in the guild.
Right.
Right? Even so... just can't quite get up to that power level for the real enchants and the real tailoring items we really want.
Hmm.
You know? Yeah, because it's kind of a drag if whatever you make just doesn't work for you, you have to go and sell it. I mean,
that's part of the economy of the game, is like you'll be producing items that people five levels beneath you are desperate for. Mm-hmm. So you put it on the auction house and you make money, and then you use that money to buy the items that someone five levels higher than you is making.
Right.
It's part of the economy.
Okay.
But
I guess I haven't even dealt with this auction house.
The auction house is fun.
Is it
easy?
Okay,
easy.
It's very easy.
Take an item out of your thing.
It's one of those things that people are actually studying right now, because World of Warcraft, they find each server has an economy that balances at the same point without any coaching or outside forces. Mm. All of the economies are just settling at the same point.
Unless you start doing. Did you hear about that whole gold duping? They had a problem. It dropped the economy down 20% and they had to reset it. They had to fix it.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It's a drag.
Well, how were they duping the gold?
They found a bug in which they could take something off a body of, or I don't know, they were somehow changing character. They would grab it from a monster and they'd switch it with a character. I don't know. And the gold would duplicate and they could just keep doing it. And they did it. They had hundreds of thousands of gold pieces. Oh, they were just doing it. And the whole economy and the servers was like, just dropped.
Well, you know, this is actually, I heard people have been studying the economies on these games.
Yeah.
Just to understand world economies.
I think Star Wars Galaxies was the big first study for that
big
one.
Big time.
You know,
kind of an How's that doing, by the way? Is that all right?
It's not doing so hot. They released a new expansion for it.
Yeah, the one where you can fly?
Yeah, I gave it a shot in the arm. I know a few people went back to it.
And they have another one on the way.
The problem was the basic version was so faulty that people got tired of it.
Let's go kill
really
bugs.
Quick. Yeah, and you weren't able to be a Jedi the first time around.
You still can't? Or can you,
you
now?
You can now, I think.
You could be a Jedi the first time around, but it was a hidden seed in the character.
It was the result of grinding.
Right, right.
No, anyone could do it, but you had to literally grind for at least, I think I was told, 3 weeks of just doing skills, just trying to get your skills up over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And doing nothing else.
Well, there was also the game, what was it called?
City Heroes?
There are a couple others, like Dark Ages of Camelot still has a strong following.
What was the one that you could trade your money in for real money?
I don't know.
That was Evercrack.
No.
You mean from the
what is it called?
Ultima Online?
Of them, you can do that through eBay. But
No. This is it. They in the game, you could buy money and you could sell. They said that their economy was worth the money that you. So you could go and buy 50 gold, and if you made 50 gold, they would buy it back from you. I can't remember what it's called. I'll look it up.
That one.
All
right, we need to wrap this up.
Okay.
I just want, before, one thing I did want to mention as a place to go. We have one of our listeners, the guy, King Tanuk.
King Tanuk.
King Tanuk on our website.
Hello, King Tanuk.
He has a new podcast. I think he's like 13 years old. I think he's 13. I can't remember where.
Maybe older than that. It's like 16.
He's 13 or 14.
Really?
Wow.
I think that's what he said. But anyway, he's got a podcast.
He's remarkably articulate for being...
I know. I didn't know that.
Well, he's a geek. Geeks are articulate.
True.
Geeks on a Rampage. Geeks on a Rampage.
Yeah. Hey. King, we need to talk about that, man.
It's
Stealing
cool.
Titler.
It's cool. He had a couple friends, I think, the first episode, and I...
He had a couple friends?
Yeah, that's...
I don't think he's a geek.
Oh...
Him and a couple of friends that did the podcast, and then he's been going solo for a little while. So,
well, he's 13, you know.
13.
Oh,
does
sorry.
Geek news. He
nice,
talks about,
Don.
He talks about geeky stuff. Anyway, anybody wants to check it out, you can do it through iTunes. Geeks on a Rampage.
Geeks on a Rampage.
Geeks on a Rampage.
That's pretty cool, actually.
About that, King.
No. But he's 13-year-old. He's doing the whole podcast. He's running his RSS feed. He's got his own blog thing. He's got the whole thing down.
This kid must be really smart.
Oh, this kid's probably very smart.
Come on, kids, check him out. Let's find out what the kids are thinking nowadays.
Yes.
Right on, King.
Yep.
We also had a fan send us a movie.
Yes, a long time ago, and I don't have a VHS player anymore. So
we should link to that actually.
Well, actually, we have the Star Trek thing that I will bring to you at some point.
The videotape? Yes. Yeah.
I'm referring to A Day in the Life of an Evil Overlord.
Yeah.
Great voiceover on that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was really pretty
cracking
funny.
Me up. Who sent that to us? You have the link, right?
Yeah, I'll have to find it. I'll link us to the page.
Okay, forgive us. It's been 2 weeks since we saw your work. Long story short, we meant to get to it last week, but we ran very long. Check this out. It's like a 5-minute movie about an evil overlord just talking about his day-to-day life. What he does, you know, what he has for breakfast, that sort of stuff.
Yep. They have to eat.
It's very funny.
Very funny.
It was really cute. I liked it.
I'd actually like to see it expanded a little bit. I'd like to see a bigger version of it.
Yeah. With a little bit more of clarity of thought to it. It was like, it just needed to be kind of pared down a little bit.
Yeah. I'd like to see it more
focused
on some of the more evil things that he does. I'd love to see some more evil.
More evil.
More evil.
All right, and I got a couple of links. Just www.snopes.com.
Great site.
For everyone who needs to debunk the rumors like the one that Peter just said.
We've linked to them before.
Have we linked to Snopes?
Yeah.
We have?
I brought that in.
Okay, we're debunking again?
We need to debunk.
We can revisit Snopes. Snopes is an excellent site.
And labs.google.com, Google Labs, and they tell all the fun things that are going to be coming out from Google over the next weeks and months, which are awesome.
That's great. Cool.
Yeah.
Google's a well-run company.
Yes, they
Google
are.
Google and Apple.
Google Labs.
Innovators.
All righty. we just wrapped up a...
Oh, my God.
Hour and a half show again.
Kick ass. Aaron,
oh, we can't shut up.
All right, we're going to try to get it down. I swear to God, one day it'll be near an hour. All right, guys. Everybody, have a good geek week.
Have a most excellent geek week, my geek queens.
Buy a t-shirt, damn it.
Yeah, and go buy it. Actually, I'm going to replace one of those, but... All right. Yes.
Okay.
So buy it before it's replaced. It'll be a collector's edition.
That's right.
We won't tell you which one it is. You'll have to buy one of each. And perhaps the G-strings.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Rock it out.